In Scotland, when friends get together, they blether. When these three friends happen to be Scottish Blue Badge tourist guides, you can be sure that the country that they're so passionate about will be right at the heart of their discussions. Be it contemporary or historical, culinary or cultural, reminiscence or anecdote, from accommodation to zoos, the chat will range right across the entire alphabet of topics and issues that are live and happening in Scotland right now. We hope that you'll join us. There's nothing to beat a richt good blether.
And you could also join in our blethers on social media. You can find us as at Scottish Blethers on both Facebook and Instagram. We post additional content during the week that supports the podcast episode.
We love making the podcast and would love it if you could share them with your friends and leave a review on the platform of your choice. Well, hello and welcome to Scottish Blethers. And this is Helen. We are now both back at work, Liz and myself. And it is my turn to do a solo performance. And I can tell you, I'm a little bit nervous without Liz here to keep me right in terms of structure. So we might be a wee bit rambly, but just stay with me. Sometimes I might come back to the beginning of a sentence. Sometimes I'll just forget what I'm doing. So you stay with me and we'll have a wee chat about what has been happening. Well, as I say, we're back to work. I've got now two extended tours under my belt completed and very successfully. Both were new routes for me, but more or less familiar surroundings. But today I thought I'd kind of concentrate on little parts of each of the tours and see what you think. Well, the one thing that's happened on both tours is we've had this most unbelievable weather. You know, one part of the sky, brilliant blue sky, another part of the sky, dark clouds and heavy downpours. So let's look at our clothing. As Billy Connolly always says, there's no such thing as bad weather, only inappropriate clothing. So today I'm going to tell you about some of the things that I wear. Well, I invested two or three years ago, pre-COVID. I think we're going to be measuring time by before and after COVID. So before COVID, I invested in a good pair of waterproof trousers and a coat, a kind of knee-length coat, which guaranteed to be waterproof, not just showerproof, but waterproof. And by, have they really come into their own in some of these downpours that we've had this year. I was perfectly dry and toasty underneath all this. It's not terribly fashionable. I think a wee bit like the Michelin man. Do you remember the Michelin man with the tires? Well, I look a wee bit like that. Put the hood up and nobody knows. Hood and mask. It really looks like something out of an alien from outer space. But the one thing that failed me in terms of clothing this year were my shoes. I've always prided myself in having good shoes, sort of very unfashionable, very kind of, you know, the sort of thing that my mother would say, Helen, why are you wearing these awful shoes? My mother was never without her peary heels. We've told you what a peary heel was in the past, you know, these very high heels. My mother was never without those, but I wear these sturdy lace-ups. Lovely vision. Well, you're walking around and my feet like to know that wherever they're walking, whatever type of surface I'm on, that my feet are sitting on the same thing they always sit on, i.e. the soles of my shoes. Well, the shoes failed. They just burst out in Inverness on a very wet day. We'd been on the cruise on Loch Ness and I noticed a little bit beginning to burst, the stitching coming out. And the rain was coming down and we had the sheepdogs and my shoes were just getting more and more leaky. So we had some free time in Inverness and I bought myself a pair of shoes. very, very unfashionable. I went to the outdoor shop and got walking shoes. So they've got a good thick sole and they are sturdy lace-ups. So I don't know about you, but I really do not like buying new shoes. I wish I was the Queen. I understand the Queen has one of her ladies-in-waiting or somebody break in her shoes. Wouldn't that be great? Instead of your feet having to do the hard work of making the leather sort of mould into the shape you need it to be, the Queen has somebody who does that for her. That would be just so good. So anyway, these shoes of mine, it's a very odd thing to be talking about in a podcast, but these shoes of mine have worked very well. They have not hurt my feet. They have just, and they've kept out the water. And I have to say, though, I did buy a good pair of socks to go with my new shoes. So I'm very trendy in the foot department these days. You know, socks, I've got burgundy ones and green ones and black ones. Very trendy in the foot department, but they wouldn't go on the catwalk very well. So where did we go on this trip? Well, one of the highlights of any trip that I do in Scotland, I have to say, is Iona. Now, Liz and I did a podcast on Iona. We did a virtual tour of Iona during lockdown. But Iona still just has a special magic for me, no matter what the weather is. So let me talk you through some of the things that happened during my Iona trips this year. Well, one of the Iona trips, it was very interesting because we went on to the ferry as foot passengers. Well, we do that for most trips as foot passengers. And then this time we travelled across the Isle of Mull on the service bus. Now, the service bus is great fun. It were 28 of us going over. And so for many of them, they managed to tick off one of their bucket lists of things. They sat on the upstairs of a double-decker bus and we rode across Mull for about just over an hour. And great fun, great view from the top deck of the double-decker bus over Mull. And really enjoyed it. For those who haven't been to Mull and gone down to Iona, the road from Craignure, where the ferry from Oban gets into, down to Fianafort, which is the little port that you get the small ferry over to Iona. The road down there is a single track road with passing places. So it's quite exciting for people who have not travelled along these roads to see just how it works. You tuck into the passing place or you stop beside a passing place so that the oncoming traffic or car can go into the passing place in order to pass you. So anyway, on this double-decker bus, it was great fun, fairly incident-free going over to Fianafort on the way down. There's one bridge at, I think it's Bennessen, or is it Pennygale or Bennessen, which is, you don't think the bus is going to fit. And when you're on the top deck, you can't even look down and see either of the edges of the bridge. You look as if you're just kind of very smoothly sort of drifting over the river rather than on a road. So we got down to Fianafort without incident, and the ferry was just coming in with the Fianafort Iona ferry. You can see it leaving Iona and coming over to Fianafort. So it was just coming in. So we got into our positions on the queue, not a big queue, but into our positions on the queue, waiting to go in. And suddenly the heavens opened. The rain came down in what I call big rain, but really big, big rain. Just stotting off the ground, And within 15 seconds, if you didn't have on your good waterproofs, which of course I had on, you were soaked through. And then in a blink of an eye, out comes the sunshine and clear blue sky. We got onto the wee ferry going across and some people went underneath because the rain was still kind of there, but they went underneath. We got onto Iona and just magically the sun was shining and it wasn't cold. It was just a beautiful, beautiful day. And the minute you step off the ferry on Iona, you know you are in a very different place. It is just clear, clear air, very quiet, very peaceful. And it is just, for that particular tour, we'd taken the early ferry. So we actually had 5 hours on Iona. And that was great. And one of the things that a couple on the tour wanted to do, they wanted to renew their vows, their marriage vows, in the abbey at Iona. This was a group from Reformation tours. We were looking at the Reformation. So it was a group from a church in Indianapolis. And two of them, Linda and David, wanted to renew their vows in the abbey. So I decided that as we were on Iona by 10 o'clock, it was nice and quiet. And within an hour and a half, Iona would become quite busy. So we decided to just make our way up to the church, up to the abbey. And John performed the renewal of vows ceremony in the abbey. It was absolutely beautiful. So thank you, Linda and David, for allowing us to witness that. It was just beautiful. Inside the very peaceful abbey. And then two other couples asked John to bless them with a renewal. And that was very nice indeed. So for those of you who don't know Iona Abbey, it is small. You know, the interior is actually quite small. It has a beautiful pinkish glow because the stone is mull granite, which has got that pinky red look to it. It's not the red sandstone that you see in Edinburgh or Glasgow. It's just a kind of a sparkly pink. Really, really lovely. And it has ferns, sea ferns growing out of the stone inside the church. So all of that just made it a very special place. The communion table is made of Iona marble, which is a very beautiful pale green marble effect. Just lovely. So we were in the abbey and just sitting there, just enjoying the peace. They had the audio guides, the self-guide audio guides, which were very good indeed. But even without those, the storyboards around the abbey are extremely good. So I just wandered through, looked at the cloisters with the beautiful, beautiful sculpture that went up in the 1950s, I think it was, The Spirit Descending. Just lovely. And the birds were singing. There was obviously nesting birds in the cloisters because you could hear them. I think there were swifts because they were really darting around. I think there were swifts, and there was obviously baby birds as well that were being fed. And then just to go outside, and I sat in the little garden. They've got a little enclosed garden, which what used to be the, I think it was the kitchen block. Can't remember exactly, but I just sat there in the sunshine, and we'd had a to-go breakfast from the hotel in Oban, which I didn't eat on the ferry, but I just sat there and had a little picnic in the sunshine, just enjoying being on Iona. The museum, if you ever get the chance to go to Iona, please don't miss out the museum. It is stunning. And the story it tells of the island and Columba and Christianity on the island is just, you know, very well done. And it's got, the island has a wonderful atmosphere, and the museum has its own special atmosphere as well. So certainly have a look at that. And all too soon, it was actually time to go back from Iona. So the group had been asked to gather at the ferry, the top of the ferry on Iona, at 3 o'clock, just or around three, because you look at the ferry, and as I said, you can see the ferry coming over. So when the ferry begins to come over, you should be at the pierhead, just around about 3 o'clock. So there we were, waiting to go on the ferry. We did that, and everybody was just, you know, that calm way people get where they really don't need to speak to each other because they've just had such a marvellous experience on a very special island. So we got on the ferry and then we were getting the service bus from Fianna Fáil to Craignure. Well, that was fine. We all piled on the service bus and we set off. And this time Frank was the driver and Frank was giving a commentary on the way over. He was explaining that he was the main service bus driver on Iona down to Craignure Fianna Fáil route. So he was quite familiar with the road and he was able to give a really, really interesting commentary. But about 5 minutes into his commentary, he stopped. And we sort of thought, oh, what's going on here? But then he said, oh dear, that's my boss telling me that I've got to turn round and go back to Fianna Fáil to pick up some passengers. So we thought to ourselves, well, that's very nice, a very nice thought, but how on earth do you turn a double-decker bus on a single-track road? I mean, we all know about three-point turns and turning a car in three manoeuvres, but and that's on a normal road, but a double-decker bus on a single-track road. Well, Frank did it. I won't say how many nips he had to take. I don't mean nips of whiskey. I mean little nips and tucks of the bus. But one time, it looks as if the front end of the bus was hanging over the big ditch at one side and the other side, the back end of the bus seemed to be kind of just almost touching the rocks on the other side. But to great applause from all the passengers, Frank got the bus turned round and we were on our way back to Fianna Fáil. We picked up the passengers and we set off once again on our road to Craignure. Frank giving a very good commentary, and at one point he mentioned that we might be able to see sea eagles or even golden eagles because that was going past their nesting point up on the rocks in the distance on either side. And I think I did see, well, in fact, I do know I did see a bird in the sky, and I think it was probably a sea eagle rather than a golden eagle, but it was certainly in the distance and it was big enough to be able to spot it. You know, I carry binoculars with me and I never take them out to use. So that's going to be my challenge for this summer, to take my binoculars and actually use them. So we went on crossing over the cattle grids and found some deer and numbers of cars passing us going down to Iona or coming back, because we were going to Craignure around about 5 o'clock. So it was coming to the end of the day. We got to Craignure, there was a wee message, and Frank did say something on the commentary, which I didn't quite pick up. But when we got to Craignure, there was no sign of the ferry. Now, normally, you see the big ferry in the distance coming in to unload passengers and vehicles Craignure and pick up the passengers and vehicles to go back to Oban. Nothing. Just empty, empty sea. There was a group of people waiting in the little shelter that they have at the pier, but there's a visitors information centre, tourist information centre across the road. So I went over to the tourist information centre and asked what was the story, because in my bones I thought I had heard cancellation when Frank was speaking, or delay. So it transpired that the big ferry had, or a ferry, shall we say, had broken down and they were having to make do and mend with whatever ferries they had. And the 5 o'clock ferry from Craignure to Oban had been cancelled and we had to wait for the 6:30 quarter to seven ferry. Now, Craignure is a street. It has a tourist information office, which was open. It has a cafe, which was closed. It has a small spa shop, which was open, and it has a coffee machine. A spa is a small grocery store, and they had toilets which were open, thank goodness, for everybody. So between the three things, we managed to keep going until half past six when we saw the ferry coming over. It was just a small ferry, enough for the foot passengers and the small number of cars that were there waiting to queue up, waiting to go. So we did get on the ferry. We had booked dinner in the hotel that night for 7 o'clock. But at 10 to 7, we were still at Craignure in Mull, on Mull. So I phoned the hotel and cancelled out dinner, because I think by the time we would have gotten to Oban, which would be nearer coming on to 8 o'clock, passengers were just, you know, the tour members were tired. We'd been up, we had been at the ferry terminal in Oban at 7 o'clock that morning. So we were ready just to get something to eat and get back to bed. Anyway, we got back to Oban and everybody scattered to get some food. Some went to buy just a wee picnic to take back. Some went for fish and chips. Some managed to get into some of the restaurants. And, you know, everybody seemed quite happy. We got back to the hotel, which, you know, was something else in itself at Oban. It was, I suppose, Fawlty Towers. Some of you will remember John Cleese and Basil Fawlty and Fawlty Towers, which was a sitcom many years ago on British TV. Well, this hotel that we were staying in Oban was very like Fawlty Towers, but they had a lovely young man who had his degree in hospitality. He'd worked in some of the bigger hotels and he had chosen to come and work at this hotel, and he had plans. He knew what he wanted. The situation of the hotel was just perfect. The manner and attitude of young James was just perfect. He is going to make a success of that hotel. He's looking to get staff. Staffing and hospitality in Scotland is very, very tricky at the moment. So if he can get good, reliable and willing people to work in his hotel, he will be able to train them into the job. But the main thing he's looking for is willingness and reliability. And I really am rooting for you, James. I'm sure you're going to make a big success of the hotel there. So that's us, our wee trip to Iona from Oban. And the previous time I'd been in Oban, I'd popped along to see our good friend Graham, who was a guest on Scottish Blethers podcast in the earlier days. And he has changed the way he is managing his beautiful, stunning guest house bed and breakfast. He's now turned each of the rooms into an Airbnb, but very upmarket. And he says that's lovely because he has times where people can check in and then they have their key and they can come and go as they wish. And his private quarters are quite separate. So he is very, very delighted. He is getting lots of sailing in and he is just enjoying his new lifestyle. Just great. So it's lovely. And just having a wee chat with him was great fun. So, and one thing that I have to say, that being back out on the road, you know, meeting up with Graham, great fun. But just as you're walking around the various visitors attraction and seeing guides, you know, catching up with coach drivers, you're seeing people you haven't seen or spoken to for 2 years, and we're all just so happy and pleased to be back on the road. And so I think with that, I've told you my wee story about Iona, and I would certainly recommend a visit to Iona if you're up in the Oban area. It's an easy day trip, even as a foot passenger, which is what we did. Foot passenger onto the ferry from Oban, foot passenger onto the service bus down to Fianafort from Craignure, and foot passenger over to the island. And I think that I would also recommend getting the early ferry and getting about 5 hours on Iona. It worked for us because it was a beautiful day. You might not think it was such a good idea to be on Iona for 5 hours if you've got horizontal rain and driving wind. But it's Scotland, so we have good waterproof clothing, good shoes, and we just take what we get in terms of weather. So I'm going to sign off now and just wish Liz a really happy time over in Spain. She's done her Western Isles tour with her group, and that was very, very successful. And nobody tested positive for COVID, so that was even more successful. Well done, Liz. And she's now over in Spain with Fran, who some of you will remember. Fran also guested on Scottish Blethers podcast. And they are going off to Santiago de Compostela. So you'll hear from Liz later on in the podcast. So I will just say tatty bye for now. And I just haven't thought of a word, but I think I will just say that. Maybe it's an expression that you have yourselves, but I don't know. Bucketing rain. Just think of a bucket of water being emptied onto you. We've had that, and the stones, the sun splitting the paving stones with the clear skies and sunshine. So I will say goodbye for now, and thank you for listening to my solo performance.
And there we have it, the end of another episode of Scottish Blethers. If you'd like to join us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as @ScottishBlethers. And if you'd like to leave a review, please do so on your podcast platform of choice. It's cheery bye from me.
Ta-ta the moo from me.
And if I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the windy from me.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.